There goes Lance in the open field. 30, 20, 10, 5. Touchdown! Oh, baby, this kid's pretty good.
You're listening to Bison Report Radio, presented by 24/7 Sports.
The Thunderdome, especially on homecoming, is just not something that you want to allow to get rocking, and they really, really did.
I don't think you could ask for any better. Maybe one more completion to go 11 for 11, but that kid was fun to watch.
Their wing spot is pretty loaded. I mean, you've got Jared's going to play. I mean, he's as solid as it gets at the two spot.
Here's your host, publisher of Bison Report, Ross Uglum. You're listening to Bison Report Radio, presented by 24/7 Sports.
The Thunderdome, especially on homecoming, is just not something that you want to allow to get rocking, and they really, really did.
I don't think you could ask for any better. Maybe one more completion to go 11 for 11, but that kid was fun to watch.
Their wing spot is pretty loaded. I mean, you've got Jared's going to play. I mean, he's as solid as it gets at the two spot.
Here's your host, publisher of Bison Report, Ross Uglum.
What's up, Bison fans, and welcome back to another edition of the Bison Report Radio Podcast. I am your host, publisher of said Bison Report, Ross Uglum, and joining me on this game day Friday, it's Nate Zastro. Nate, how are we doing, buddy?
We're doing good. I'm ready to get that, I'm sure the Bison are too, ready to get that sour taste out of their mouth from last Saturday. Would have been nice to get a road sweep, but I think 5-1 to start the conference season is something that they would have taken. But hopefully they can move forward and get two wins this weekend.
Yeah. I talked about that a little bit with Jeff Culhane on the Insiders yesterday. And, I think specifically after the way they started the season and how kind of choppy they looked, during the Dakota showcase, they didn't blow anybody out. We're in three close games, won two of them and lost one of them to South Dakota State. I think you'd be pretty pleased with 5-1, but I think they were feeling greedy, and for good reason. I think, they felt like specifically after absolutely blowing the doors off of UND on Friday night, that this was an opportunity to go to 6-0 and bank a 4-0 record on the road, which in league play is incredible and something you would just absolutely cherish. But it was not to be. Let's go through that game on Friday there, Nate, because I think that was kind of like everything that Bison basketball can be this season. What did you see from that performance? No free throws allowed, 48 points against. I mean, and they got into the 70s on offense. I thought that was their most complete game of the year, but maybe you have a different opinion.
Yeah, I think they, from the start to the finish, started it out by setting the precedent defensively, and they really made them hit contested shots. And obviously it's a bit unrealistic as far as only fouling five times and them shooting no free throws, but that's how they defend. And they really pack the lane and make you shoot jump shots. And fortunately, UND settled for jump shots and didn't really look to get to the basket, especially when they weren't falling. And I thought NDSU was very efficient on offense, especially in the half court, found matchups that they liked, and they took advantage of it. And they were up early in that game, and they just kind of rode their defensive effort to a victory. And probably one of the better defensive performances overall in Richmond's whole tenure. I mean, 45 points, and like I said, only fouling five times and zero free throws. I know they talked about, I'm a Wisconsin guy, so they talk about Bo Ryan's teams and how they don't foul, they don't turn the ball over, and they don't give up free throws. And that's pretty much what they did, is they really defended without fouling and made them hit jump shots for the whole game. And there's going to be games where teams hit jump shots, but it wasn't happening on Friday, and they continued to rebound really well. And just an overall awesome defensive effort and overall effort from them.
Your thoughts on Grant Nelson's performance on Friday night and just his progression, almost that second half of that UND game, I mean, they played six guys, and he was the sixth man. Seems like he's playing 3, 4, and 5. But I thought was certainly the most gifted, but maybe even the best player on the floor on Friday night. He's something else, man.
Yeah, I mean, he continues to show different signs of his ability, and I'm going to go on a hot take on this podcast. I think he can be a 3-year all-conference player after this year. And I think just with no offseason this year, the things that he's doing is just absolutely incredible. It just shows you his raw ability. And yeah, he's had a little bit of coaching now throughout the season, but coaches aren't really going to work on development too much during the season. They're worried about winning games. So once he gets a full offseason with Jason Miller and with individual workouts and working on different things in his game, I honestly think he can be a 3-year all-conference player. Obviously, NDSU is going to return some pieces where he may not be the go-to guy next year, but he definitely has the ability to do that.
Yeah, I mean, I was impressed, man. 4 block shots, I think, on Friday. Just completely destroyed Urbanovicius to the point where they played Mitchell Sucker, which actually worked out phenomenally for UND on Saturday night. And I guess that's kind of the game that we need to talk about now, because it was a loss to a team that isn't very good. And I think as much as Richmond might hate to hear it, you just throw that one away. And that's what he kind of talked about on his radio show, which is that they didn't treat Monday any different after a split than they treated the previous Monday after a sweep. But that's a 40% shooting team in UND that shot 50% for the game against the best defense in the Summit League. That was their vision quest. That was their unconscious moment. Like that'll never happen again for UND as long as the season. That's their best game of the year, and they still took the Bison, you know, to all the way to overtime, and a couple of free throws here, a 10-second violation here, and they still lose that game. But that was a team, you know, like I said, shooting 10% over their season-long percentage against a very, very, very good defensive team. And I just kind of take that performance and throw it away, but it doesn't mean that we won't break it down. What did you see, Nate?
Yeah, I mean, you knew UND was going to come out and attack the basket and play a little bit better offensively than they did Friday night. It is still a rivalry game, and you just knew they were going to play better. I didn't expect another blowout. I expected NDSU to win the game. I thought they did pretty decent defensively throughout the game. Obviously, with a 4-point lead with 30 seconds left, I think NDSU can use kind of their past few performances. I mean, against Omaha, they were up 8, 10, 12 points somewhere in there, but with 2 minutes left, and let them get back in the game. And UND, they're up 4 with 30 seconds left. It's with a young team and a little bit of an inexperienced team. Now, I say that, and they have guys that have experience, but you got to learn to close those games out, and especially against opponents that don't really belong on the floor with you or aren't as good as you. And I think NDSU will use the film, use that to help them going forward. But yeah, up 4 with 30 seconds left, I know it was a kind of a funky situation. I mean, UND really didn't do anything spectacular. They scored a bucket. NDSU misses a front end of a 1-on-1, and you kind of have a silly foul with 11 seconds left without making UND hit a shot. But you live and you learn from it, and hopefully they do, and they're going to have the lead on opponents going forward, and hopefully they can close out games better.
Yeah, and I think we're in an interesting and unique position being an NDSU-specific site and having positive relationships. Obviously, you're a former player, and we say that, you know, it's said a lot that we're never critical. And I want to say something critical right now, and that's that it's quite obvious. But Sam Griesel, you got to make free throws, man. And if he's not going to make free throws in that spot, then the coaches have to get the ball into Tyree or find a way to get the ball into Rocky, maybe sub him out for Des McKinney. I don't know, but what I will say is if he can't be a better free throw shooter, he's made huge strides as a point guard. I mean, there's no question about it. I think what he's done is commendable. I think he's the best player on the team, as we mentioned. But it cannot be in a situation where the guy that you want to get the ball into, or the guy that your offense, that your system is designed to get the ball to, is also the guy that the other team wants to foul at the end of the game. Am I way off base there, Nate?
No, and I don't think NDSU has any great free throw shooter late in the game. Now, they're shooting 77% as a team, which is a great percentage as a team, but pressure's free throws are a different story, and you want a guy that's going to go up there confident as ever, and you know you're getting to it two free throws pretty much every time he steps to the line. I don't know if the NDSU has a guy that's going to do that. I would, if I had to get the ball into some guy's hands, it would probably be Tyree right now. I think he's the most consistent shooter and going to step up there confidently. Hopefully Sam can turn into that role, being that he's the point guard and that's who guys are going to outlet the ball to on a rebound or any type of thing to set their offense up. It's something I'm sure Sam's going to take to heart and be better for going forward. But right now, I don't think they have a guy that Richmond's going to feel overly confident with going up to step up and hit two free throws. I mean, if Sam makes two free throws there, it's still a 4-point game with 20 seconds left. You get one stop, the game's over. And instead, they're up two and they got to get a stop and pressure's on. I mean, if UND hits a three, they're down. And if they hit a bucket, it's still tied and it forces them to really, really defend. And it led to a foul and UND unfortunately hit two free throws. We miss a shot and it goes to overtime, and then anything can happen. It's 5 new minutes of basketball. So you really up four with 30 seconds left. You almost got to lose the game at that point yourself, apart from UND winning the game. And I think NDSU kind of did everything they could to get that game to overtime. Everything kind of went the wrong way.
Yeah, I mean, that was a worst-case scenario. I haven't had a chance to go back and look at ESPN's win probability percentage, but I would guess that NDSU's was pretty high. I would guess the end of the game roller coaster as far as that win probability percentage is pretty steep between NDSU and UND there. I don't think the outcome that occurred was very likely, but there we saw it. And the other thing that rubbed me the wrong way, Nate, and I want to talk about again, you know, like I said, we often get accused of being positive all the time. I didn't like the rotation. I think this team is very good, but I also think it's very deep. You lose, you know, Bowden Skunberg. I've heard it might be a stress fracture, might be something that, you know, takes a little time. He was in a walking boot up in Grand Forks, not something that we knew going into the game. And I got to tell you, I've said this before. For me, there's no way I wouldn't have just inserted Jackson Notek into those minutes. I don't understand what's going on there. He was the best player on the floor against Nebraska. He was, you know, certainly over a number of guys that are getting minutes now, obviously over Jarius, over Malik. He was the one that they turned to in Sioux Falls when they needed a Summit League championship last year. And I thought that they ran out of legs a little bit at the end of that game. In the second half, no Desmond McKinney, no Biggs, and you just subbing in, you know, Grant Nelson to get this guy or that guy a break. I know that this is coach's way. It's been coach's way, Nate, since I watched you play. And I it just bugs me. I think that fresher legs are great, especially on a back-to-back. And there are guys, you know, that could have been contributing, maybe not in the last 4 minutes, but if they get the 12-minute mark to the 8-minute mark, you know, maybe we're having a slightly different conversation. I think, you know, I would have given Jackson Notek a 16-minute run in one of the two games for sure. I personally would have done it in both. I just think that the clamping down into this 6.5-man rotation is maybe not the best use of personnel at this time, especially, you know, when you're using your back-to-backs every single week from a scheduling standpoint. And I know exactly what he'd say. A, I don't care what you think, Ross. And B, that these kids are young and they've got young legs and that Jason Miller does an unbelievable job getting them in shape. All those things are true. I would have done it differently. Nate, what are your thoughts on the rotation as it stands right now without Skunberg?
Yeah, we've talked about it all year, and I believe I even talked about it maybe in the postgame or pregame, is NDSU's got to use their depth. I mean, they have 10 guys that are pretty interchangeable. I mean, obviously, you get a bit of a drop-off when you go below Sam's guy or Rocky's guy. Like, they're playing at a really high level, but to play six guys in a, and especially this year when you're playing back-to-backs and you're on the road, I don't care if Grand Forks is only an hour away, you're still on the road. Why not use your depth, especially when there's not that big of a drop-off? Fresher legs throughout the span of a conference season, I think, is going to be the most important. And I know once you get to Sioux Falls, you got 3 games in 3 days. I get that. But the ultimate goal is a conference championship. And, yeah, you want to win those games. Maybe he thought those five were the best on the floor. But Sam Griesel playing minute 28 to 32 instead of 36 to 40 late in the game, or even 45 minutes with the overtime, is a little different than with fresher legs. Why not give Jackson a chance? He's going to come in there. He's going to hit shots if he's open. He's going to provide something offensively. When the offense wasn't clicking as much as it was on Friday night, on Saturday. And why not give maybe a Tyler Witts a chance to go get a couple low post touches and see if he can score. Obviously, Richmond knows these guys. He sees them in practice every day, knows the rotation that he's kind of going to go into going into the weekends. But when you got depth, especially with back-to-backs, I don't see why that wouldn't be used. And with Bowden out, it seems the rotation tightened up even more instead of expanding more. So we'll see what he does going forward. Maybe it's something that he, Coach Richmond will learn from, and maybe he goes to more depth going forward. But we'll see. We'll see. Jackson's definitely a kid that's proven that he can score the ball. And I think at some point, I know we've talked about it, at some point during this conference season, they're going to turn to him kind of at an unexpected time, and hopefully he's ready to roll.
Yeah, I think this will potentially, and we'll talk about it in just a second, but I think this will be certainly a weekend where they have a chance to stretch out some depth. Denver's not very good. You know, they're at home. Coach made it very clear. Look, Denver was the 8 seed last year, took us all the way, you know, and was very good. But Adi Merkey's with the Timberwolves now. He's not there. And I just, they are rebuilding flat out. That they are in a rebuilding mode. I understand what Coach is doing. He's paying respect to his friend Rodney Billups. He's making sure his guys don't get too far ahead of themselves. No question about it, folks. They're going to be heavy favorites, and I think it might be time to stretch out the bench a little bit, and not just in the last 2 minutes of the game when you're up 14. I mean, you know, during the course of the competitive part of the game. But anyway, that's another conversation for another day. Talk to me about Rocky, because that was Dom-esque. I mean, that was if you think that and my understanding, as I've said all season, is that Rocky is going to come back next year, and that is what I understand. It's no guarantee, but as things change. But Rocky, man, if you thought that Rocky could take the baton from Vinny and Tyson and be the man, then Saturday is the game that you wanted to see. What a performance, Nate.
Yeah, I think NDSU's offense as a whole, when Rocky is hitting shots from the outside, you can just see how much more open their offense is and how much better looks they get when he is hitting shots. When he's not, it kind of closes up a little bit, but when Rocky's able to hit shots, he's agile enough to take his guy off the bounce. He can take him into the low block. He shows great patience down low. Make sure he jump stops on 2 feet and get into his hook shot. At 6'11", you just don't see that every day from those type of players. And when he's confident shooting the ball from the three, like I said, NDSU's offense just looks so much better because guards have lanes to drive. They can drive and kick, and it kind of opens up their dribble drive offense to get open looks. And ultimately, that's what NDSU wants. They want to spread you out, and that's what opposing coaches talk about a lot. Why NDSU is so tough to guard is because they space you out, and you got a 6'11 guy on the perimeter that's out there hitting threes, but then you got 6'6", 6'7", Tyree Edie and Sam Griesel that once they're spacing you out, if you put a small guard on them, they're going to put them in the post and they're going to give them the ball and they're going to score because they have such a size advantage. So I think it just leads to Great matchups that they can take advantage of, as well as spacing out their offense and making them a really efficient offense in the half court.
Yeah, I was really impressed. He had big shots and really, I think, showed the full Rocky repertoire as far as, you know, able to take Rebrach into the post and put him to work, as well as obviously hitting multiple threes, had a nice and one. He was problematic, man. And from really the opening tip, he was problematic. I think he probably has some free throws he wish he had back. But again, this is you're not going to win them all on the road. And this is a much better road team, frankly, than NDSU has been in the past. There's no question about it. And they're just, again, you're in a situation where you have a chance to move yourself to 7-1. You're 3-1 on the road. Two winnable games at Kansas City coming up. And I don't think they would expect to get swept in Vermillion by that group either. So interesting way that this whole season is going to play out. Unfortunately, Nate, I kind of already buried the lead and indicated that maybe this Denver team isn't so good, the one that's, of course, coming to Fargo. What are your thoughts as far as why this team, I think, is either winless or with one win on the record? They just haven't been very good. Of course, they weren't great last year as the number eight seed, but why has Denver struggled so mightily?
You know, they're a team that just doesn't defend very well. Obviously, Jace Townsend's back. He was a really good scorer for them last year. Almost single-handedly, I mean, he took Oral Roberts to the wire both games last weekend. Those were both very good games. I think they lost by 8 and by 4. So they're definitely capable of playing well and scoring with teams. Their problem has been defensively, and they have a lot of roster turnover from last year. I think Townsend's one of the two guys back that I remember. Robert Jones is the other one, the big guy who had 20 points in the Summit quarterfinals. He's been out since December 19th. I saw he had an ankle injury, and he tested it out against Oral Roberts. He ended up not playing that weekend, so I would expect him to play this weekend. So that'll be a good matchup for Rocky. Just another experienced guy for Denver, but their whole team relies on Chase Townsend. I mean, he's averaging 19.9 a game. He had 62 points combined last week, and I think 35 and 27 against Oral Roberts. So if they make things tough for him, I think they're going to really struggle. And with how good NDSU is defensively, I would expect two pretty comfortable wins this weekend. Obviously, you want to take it one at a time. And it's good to be at home. It's good to be back home. And hopefully NDSU has a little bit of a sour taste in their mouth starting tonight and can get a comfortable win tonight and carry that over to Saturday.
How do you think they play Townsend? I mean, do you just think that they're not worried about the bigs and they'll just switch everything and make, you know, make him make a play, just make him shoot it over whoever? Because I can't imagine they're that scared of any of the bigs rolling to the basket. I would guess, you know, that they're going to just, whoever it is, 1 through 5 on NDSU, you're going to have to hit a shot over them.
Yeah, and I don't think Richmond's never been the type of guy that's going to completely change his defense for one player. I think they'll play him straight up. Now, there'll be some different, I don't know what you call it, defensive schemes for when he has the ball. When he has the ball, I'm sure there's going to be four other guys packed in the lane, making driving lanes look very small so that he can't get to the basket. And I would expect him to put a bigger defender on him. Wouldn't surprise me to see Sam Griesel start on him, maybe give him some Tyree Edie to be physical with him. But like you said, they can switch pretty much anything 1 through 5, and I think Richmond would be comfortable. But you got to make other guys score, and it's going to be really important to keep him out of the lane, make him shoot contested shots. He's shooting 91% from the free throw line, so you can't let him get in the lane, get fouled. Just make things tough. If he hits a couple, great. Means he's going to shoot 5 more, but he's going to get his shots up. He's shooting about, I think, 16 to 17 shots a game. So, yeah, make someone else beat you. I don't think their bigs really have to worry you. Robert Jones hasn't played in almost over a month now, and they do have a young 6'6 forward in Sam Hines, who's a freshman, who's the only guy averaging double figures a game, who's came on a little bit here recently and playing a little bit better. But like we talked about, I mean, it's Chase Townsend. If he goes off, Denver will have a chance and be in the game. If they make things tough for him and make other guys beat him, I think NDSU wins by double digits.
Yeah, I think you might see that too. I mean, I think you might see Edie Griesel on him. I think that was kind of the way, in my opinion, that they treated Plitzewhite from USD. I think they kind of gave him the same treatment. I think you know, you won't probably see Cook on him a ton, and that if they're going to try and shut him down, it's going to be with the 6'5", very strong Edie or the length of Sam Griesel. And as you mentioned, absolutely try to make someone else beat you. Nate, we probably won't get back together, you and I, between the two games. So give us a weekend preview, or a weekend prediction more accurately.
You know, I think NDSU is going to come out with some fire tonight. I don't think they liked the loss Saturday, for as much as they said they've moved on. They're still going to be thinking about it, and they probably had a couple tough days in practice this week and some tough film sessions. And I think that they come out and get up double digits fairly early tonight. And I think that they're not going to get complacent like they maybe have with lesser opponents recently, with Omaha and UND. And I think they roll by 15 plus tonight. They carry that over and they find a way to get a double digit win on Saturday as well. I think it's going to be a good weekend for them, and 7-1 sounds really good, especially with UMKC coming up. Two more winnable games before we hit the 6-game stretch where it's going to be the other top three teams in the conference. And going into that, 8-2, 9-1, hopefully 9-1 would be awesome, and something that Bison fans and us probably didn't expect after seeing the first couple games. So obviously one game at a time. We want to get these two this weekend. It's good to be at home, and hopefully we can get some comfortable wins.
Yeah, man, I agree with you. I mean, I've said this. I thought that 9-1 or 8-2 was going to be where they were going to be at with those 6 games left to play. And I think it's, in my opinion, probably really important to be 9-1. I mean, they need to get these two and hopefully go out to Kansas City and get two more, because I think that kind of allows you to lock in that number 2 seed, even if you go split, because that would be 12-4. And I don't know if there's, I don't know if there's any way that a 12-4 team would not be at least the number 2 seed in the Summit League. And that's a big deal. I mean, you don't want to see the Jacks until the very end. And shoot, with recent South Dakota State history, you might not have to see them at all, because they don't historically win a lot in Sioux Falls, at least of late. So anything else super pressing before we let you go, Nate?
I don't think so. I think I'm looking forward to watching this team play after last Saturday's game. And it'll be interesting to see what the cancellations and postponements, when they make up these games. I think I wanted to bring that up. I mean, South Dakota State's only played 2 conference games because they already had their bye week. I mean, there's going to be weeks where they probably are going to have to play 4 games. I mean, I don't know how they're going to space that out or when they're talking about rescheduling those. But COVID cancellations could lead to some weird weeks for these teams where they're playing a heck of a lot of games against opponents that they should probably beat, but who knows how the legs are going to hold up. So it'll be interesting to see how this Summit League holds up. It's good NDSU's gotten 6 games in, hopefully gets 8 games in this weekend and keeps rolling before their week off. But yeah, it's going to be interesting for some teams going forward. I mean, South Dakota State has to play a lot of games. We talk about them as the favorite, but 4 games in a week for consecutive weeks possibly could be different for them.
All right, there you have it, folks. We are going to be, of course, live and covering North Dakota State against Denver tonight. Congratulations to our trivia winner, Brian. I think, folks, stay tuned to Bison Report Twitter. I would guess it will probably give away a pair of tickets for tomorrow night's doubleheader as well. Folks, get out and support Jory Collins Group also. I mean, they're doing phenomenal job. The turnaround there is a really, really special story. And the way that NDSU does their tickets, that thing's free. If you're going to the men's game, the women's game is also a part of that ticket. So get out, support Dave, support Jory, and watch these two very, very, very good mid-major programs play a little basketball Folks, we will see you hopefully early next week. Have a great weekend, and go Bison.